Hi, my name is Tom and this is What It Takes. Each episode I sit down with real business owners to talk about their journey, the wins, the challenges, and everything in between. Let's dive in.
All right. Welcome back to Business Owners Tell All What It Takes, the podcast where we sit down with entrepreneurs to hear the real stories of building businesses successfully, the challenges they've overcome, and the lessons they learned along the way. Today, we have Glenn Fields. He is the CEO and co-founder of Big Deal Agency, a full-service digital marketing advertising based in Green Acres, Florida. For more than 20 years, Glenn has been leading organizations building high-performance teams and helping businesses grow through strategic marketing and business leaderships. But before launching Big Deal in 2013, he served with the U.S. Department of State and the U.S. Embassy in Moscow and has spent more than 16 years supporting the U.S. government as a Russian translator and interpreter. Today, he combines the diverse leadership experience and his passion for helping businesses build strong brands and sustainable growth. In this episode, we're going to hear a little bit about his business planning and his creative vision of taking marketing decisions to help support long-term success. Glenn is sharing some of the principles that have helped him build his successful leadership organizations. Glenn, welcome to Business Owners Tell All. We are excited to have you here.
Thanks, Jamie. I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. Awesome. Hey, so before we dive into today's topic, just tell us a little bit about yourself and what inspired you to start up as an entrepreneur and what eventually led you to the Big Deal Agency.
Of course. Of course. I mean, you gave me quite a stellar bio. I mean, I sound more impressive than I actually am in real life. But yeah, I mean, I started out in foreign service, minored in Russian. This was kind of my thing throughout high school and college, and so I got recruited for foreign service right out of college. I went and worked in Moscow for a little bit under a year. That was exciting. That was fun. That wasn't going to be my career, so I got out of it pretty fast. I got back stateside. I worked for a few government contractors and kind of moved over from contracting to like marketing, PR side of things. I started getting to know the field and really kind of the movers and shakers and how advertising works on the B2B side. When I moved to Florida, I really got into PR, public relations. I really wanted to kind of cut my teeth in it. Worked for a PR company out of Delray, and this is when they first kind of started touching on digital advertising through social media and through Google. It was very, very fresh at the time. Not a lot of people were doing it, but a few of the clients just kind of asked to throw some pennies behind it, and the CEO of the company asked me to take a look and see how that works. I dabbled in it. I learned how to do it. And I was one of the first, like I wasn't one of the first ones doing it. I was a beta tester for a lot of these programs. I was a beta tester for Meta's business manager. That was just a Facebook business manager at the time. And really what I've learned is I saw that was the future. I saw that is like, at least that was the future of public relations. Public relations weren't going to be about picking up the phone, calling a publication and asking them to cover a story about my client. It was going to be about targeting those clients' ICPs or ideal client profiles online and serving advertising directly to them. I pushed and pushed and pushed for us to take a larger chunk of this and to kind of start offering this as a go-to service for our clients instead of just something ancillary that that clients would just kind of either opt in or not. The CEO was very, very old school PR. No, we're just going to pick up the phone and smile and dial. We butted heads for a few months. I was very set in my ways. I saw the future. He was kind of living in the past. Wound up giving up. I left and I opened Big Deal. I believe the nine, eight months after I left, that company was out of business. And his clients were his clients were knocking on my door asking to work with me. That was 14 years ago now. Really, we started out as a referral partner. There were a lot of agencies down here in South Florida that again, like they weren't really touching PPC, pay-per-click at all. They were doing, a lot of them were just doing web development. They were doing on-page SEO, which is just basically like an 8-month slog of blogs and blogs, KTPs. And that was a very popular service at the time. But of course, every time Google changed its algorithm, all that work would be for nothing. You'd be back on like page 100. of course, clients really, really paid a lot of money for this. They didn't see a lot of results. And then all of a sudden came me and my agency that would get them results the same day that we started running advertising. So of course, people preferred that. Mm-hmm. A lot of people started leaving the big agencies and coming over to us. And out of that, we kind of had to grow from being a specialized house to being a full service agency. So we started offering email marketing, web development, full social media management, PR, digital PR, videography and photography, event management, web development, app development. So at this point in our existence, we're a full service shop, but our bread and butter is still the very analytical, math based and results based advertising.
Yes, oh my gosh. So there's a lot to unpack in that time right there, right? So when you clearly you saw the future, which is amazing. I think that being able to recognize where the market, where the world is moving. I guess one of my biggest questions is like you saw the future, you saw it happening. Yeah. And for the lack of a better term, you had the stones to leave probably a very nice to start this own. Your own agency. What was your vision in the very beginning for it? Like, was it like, I know how you've evolved now, but like when you first said, okay, we're going to do this, like what was that initial vision look like for you?
My vision was to create a results oriented agency. I believe that marketing advertising has to come with accountability and results. This is something that in my time in the field, I just haven't seen it. I haven't seen it, and I really didn't understand why that was. Maybe that's my government background, but I have a military background. I came in and I said, why do people pay retainers every month? And then these marketers just come to meetings and they just throw terms at them that they don't understand. And they just ask for more money. And it's kind of a circle of excuses, a circle of non-performance. People continue paying the bills, but they don't understand what they're getting. And what I really wanted to create with Big Deal was the opposite of that. People actually pay for results. People understand what they're getting. Every client of mine back then and to this day has a clear idea of every hour of our time, where every dollar that they spent with us, where it's going, what is it, what it's achieving, and why we're doing what we're doing. That alone was revolutionary at the time because nobody was doing it. Marketing was just, hey, you know what, pay the bill and forget it. And we wanted to do things a different way. My co-founder and I and a few people who joined us at the very start kind of really loved that idea as well. And we ran with it. And I mean, and I enforce it to this day.
I love that. I mean, I think you said it, right? Most people will just throw money in the marketing bucket and are hoping for the best results, and having, you know, real return on investment is huge. And just being able to be so clear with like your product cast and everything that you do with it is, I mean, that's monumental. I can't tell you how many people have come up to us. They're like, oh, well, why don't you try this? And my first answer or question is always, cool, what's the ROI on it? What am I getting back from this? And for you just be like, nope. They know exactly what we're getting, what they're getting, when they're getting it, how they're doing it, why we're doing this. I mean, I think that is such a unique way of marketing that is amazing. I absolutely love it. I guess like, you know, kind of, you've already said it once, is that like, because of your growth, now you've had to evolve into a full service agency.
Yeah.
With the evolution, there's always lessons to be learned along the way. What are some of the lessons that you picked up through this?
Lessons I picked up from growth is you really have to manage client hours, and you have to manage their expectations. Mm. We kind of lived with the mantra of being kind of an extension of their internal marketing team or a turnkey marketing team. And that just led to a whole lot of burnout of my staff because there were some clients who were just expecting an absolute enormous amount of work from us for basically the same retainer. So over the years, I've transitioned from just kind of from a retainer based model to an hours based model. Nowadays, I'm running my agency like a law office. Everything is based on billable hours, and the accounts that our clients buy into and what they pay for is basically a chunk of billable hours that our agency devotes to their account. It works on, and it's amazing how well it works, because it's a really great way to push back against scope creep. If, let's say, we already did so many things for a client in any given month, and they're just coming in, and it's like, oh, can you support this event that we have? Can you create a whole bunch of banners? Can you send a few people out to take pictures over there? Can you fly people across the country and support this event from us that's at the end of the month? We can very clearly show them, like, hey, you know what? You guys are paying for 50 hours a month. we already spent over 90 on you this month. Like, we really cannot take on this project. We can either take it on next month when we're a little bit lighter on the hours, or we can do a separate scope of work. It also works on the other end, because we can over allow hours when we choose to do so. Like, let's say if in the rare event, if a campaign or something that we created is just not generating the results that we really wanted for the client, we don't just keep going with it. Like, if anything is not working, we're going to tell the client before the client finds out. So we come to the client, we say, hey, you know what? We did this. We projected results. Our actual results are not meeting up with our projections. So we would like to change this and this and this and this, or we would like to start from scratch. Of course, if we're starting from scratch or rebuilding a campaign halfway through a performance month, that's more hours. But we can allocate those hours. So we can decide to allocate those hours, and we typically will, but at the same time, it's something that we decided. Like, if the client is pushing back against us and asking us to spend more hours on something, then we can push back on the hours.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Just the ability to be able to pivot in between. And it's like, gosh, like, I love how you explain that, because it's one of those things where, like, if your results aren't exactly what you wanted, you're more than willing to get the results you need by a quick pivot, by adding mm-hmm. a couple hours and going the extra mile. And I think that is huge for any client who's considering somebody, like, you know, in any business avenue, just being the willingness to do the little extra to make sure that those results are met.
Yeah.
And then through your team, it's very clear that you have a very strategic leadership plan through it. And it's the clarity that's brought down with, okay, we are going to run, exactly like you said, we're going to run this like a law office. We're going to do billable hours, and then we're going to run through it. What are some of the biggest planning mistakes that you've made before getting to that realization of running it like that law office, would you say?
Yeah, running a retainer model. A retainer model with a very vague scope of deliverables. Mm-hmm. A lot of agencies make that mistake. I think a lot of them just come from a very aggressive business development department, very aggressive salespeople who just want to get that across the line. They just want to sell something. And they're going to overpromise. They're going to overpromise. They're going to take a lower retainer. They're going to take a discount just to get that client to sign. And then it falls on the fulfillment team to fulfill something that's, well, frankly, not reasonably fulfillable in the amount of time that they have.
Sure.
Earlier on, those were very painful lessons to learn. I mean, let's say one 5,000 a month client is giving us basically no trouble at all. We're running their campaigns. Everything is churning. They're getting a consistent cost per acquisition per month. Their CAC is steady. Their ROI is steady. So they're great. And they show up to the meetings. They say, wow, you're doing a great job. I don't even need to be here. Then there's another $5,000 client who is reaching out to us a few times a day, asking us to do more stuff. And it's irrelevant of the actual success of the account. The account could be very successful, but they just want more. And they just keep pushing for more and more and more and more. We don't really want to lose the account. The CSMs don't want to lose the account. So we keep over allowing. And before that, we've got a $10,000 account that people are spending less time on than a $5,000 account. And that just cannot happen in an agency that needs to be successful. So we're skimping on a tier one to service a tier two. So that's why I went away from a retainer model. I just started kind of counting everything in terms of hours, and everything that we sell to clients is a chunk of billable hours. That way it's tracked. That way every employee, every contractor, every permalancer that works for us, they have a tracking sheet. They track every hour that they spend per client and what they're doing, what they're basing it on. Yeah, it's a little bit more intensive than just working and not tracking your hours. But we find that at the end of the day, it's how people get paid. Like, let's say somebody who spent a really, really long time on an account and went above and beyond, and that account renews, or maybe they even go up to, like, from a tier 3 to a 2, or from a 2 to a 1, that's a bonus. I can look at it and say, you know what, you know what, Jamie, like, you really, really, really went above and beyond for this account. You deserve a part of their bonus. You deserve a part of their raise. And likewise, I can track people who are not doing the work. I can track people who I'm paying for 40 hours a week, but they're really only spending 10 to 15 on accounts in any given week. So then it's a conversation with their supervisor or a conversation directly with me and just kind of asking, hey guys, like, do you need more accounts? What are you up to? What are you working on? It's a good way to track staff. It's a good way to keep expectations steady for our clients. And it's a good way to just keep an agency profitable, knowing that you're gonna have to give hours away at some point anyway.
Sure. And that's trackable employees, trackable metrics, KPIs. I mean, I think those are foundational building across the board. It's just being able to understand, cool, what's going on? Why are we doing this? Are we hitting our metrics? Are we not hitting our metrics? And being able to have those tough conversations, whether on both sides, either way, hey man, way to go, you're crushing it. Or what are you doing today? You know, like, I think we've all had to have those conversations at one point in time or another. And like keeping that like forefront, like, what would you say some of those KPIs or financial metrics are something that any business owner should pay attention to?
A business owner that is hiring a marketing agency or a marketing agency owner? There's the answer is slightly different, but both of these have answers.
Give them both.
Of course. Well, with a marketing agency, C-level person, a CEO, president, a founder, you're at an advantage because you basically know how to do everything that your employees know how to do. You've done it for longer and you're aware of exactly how many hours it takes to do something. If you don't, learn how to do it. Okay. I didn't know how to do web development. I learned it. I learned it because I needed to know how long something takes. And if my web developer is quoting me 30 hours for something that I can get done in 2, then I'm going to have questions for them why it's taking them 30 hours to do something. Same with graphic design. I learned graphic design to kind of keep track of things and to understand understand how long something takes. And then maybe we had a situation where many years ago when my graphic designer had a health issue and she had to step away for a few weeks. It was somebody had to step in and do the work. And I stepped in and did a lot of the work for her. Mm-hmm. And at least we were able to cover it. So you have to be able to cover all bases for your business. Until it grows past a million MRR and you just have way too many staff to be able to handle things that you don't have to. But yeah, especially as you're growing under a million MRR, you got to know how to do everything and you have to be able to track things. For a business owner that's hiring a marketing agency, same. You know what? Don't be intimidated by the marketing lingo. Never sit there and nod. If you don't understand something, ask. It's your money. It's your money. And if you don't understand what that money is being spent for, then the agency is not doing their job. A lot of agencies, unfortunately, they kind of browbeat you and term beat you into just kind of shutting up and nodding your head and signing the checks. Don't do that. Don't do that. Ask questions. And if the question hasn't been properly answered to the point that you understand it, then ask it again and don't let them get away with it. That's my recommendation for business owners that hire marketing agencies.
No, I love that. That quote right there that you said, it's your money, you know how you're spending it. That's huge. And it's, I think that a lot of business owners who don't understand the marketing side that you do, myself included, probably would just sit there and nod my head. They're like, okay, we're going to do X, Y, and Z. I'm like, okay, cool. That sounds good. No idea what it is, but you're the pro. Yeah. And just, you know, take that 5 extra seconds to get a little more understanding of what's going on. And it's clearly you are more than willing to give that advice and walk your clients through it, which I absolutely love. Mm-hmm. So before we finish up, a couple more questions here for you. If you could give any business planning or what your journey has taught you, what do you think you would give them?
You cut off a little bit, if you don't mind repeating the question.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. If you could give any entrepreneur one piece of advice about whether it's business planning or just kind of opening, starting, growing their business, what would it be?
First and foremost, have passion for what you're doing. Have a plan of what you're bringing to the table and how it is needed and how it's unique. All right. If you're someone who's opening a marketing agency because you see a lot of marketing agencies out there and you think you can just split off a piece of that pie, don't do it. If you see a need and you believe that you can do it in a way that's better, faster, or cheaper than what anybody else is currently doing it on the market, that's your cue to do something. Like I saw a way to do it better. And that was my driving force behind creating what's behind me on the wall. Other people could see it in a way to do it faster. Hey, we can do faster deliveries of creatives or faster deliveries of ads, or we can do it a lot cheaper. You know, like we can do it at half the price that most agencies charge. If you're really passionate about it and you believe that you can deliver quality work faster, cheaper, or just much better than others, then that's your cue to get started. If you're just doing something to just bite off a piece of something that already exists, that's not a recipe for success.
I love that. And I think that's one, you know, it's every business owner, every successful business owner sees it, right? They find a pain point and Can I do it faster? Can I do it better? Can I do it cheaper? And that is, I mean, I think that's what drives in general. And I love it. Last question, we finish off with this every single time on every single one of our podcasts. Glenn, what do you think it takes to be a business owner?
A lot of patience, a lot of free time, and a huge capacity to let go of failure. Business ownership is so much about failure. And I mean, it's like baseball. Okay. Like people make the example of baseball. Okay. Like a person gets a hit 3 times out of 10 is a Hall of Fame baseball player. So seven failures out of 10 gets you into the Hall of Fame. You kind of have to have that mentality. There's going to be so many disappointments, so many setbacks. I deal with setbacks and disappointments daily. And if you don't have that mental fortitude or some kind of way of coping and dealing with it and not letting it trickle into your next project, your next client, your next business meeting, then it's going to snowball into, it's not going to snowball right into the end of your business. Like the call I had before this was very stressful. Okay. I have to take a deep breath, let it go, and put my best foot forward to have a good call right now, to have a good conversation, good podcast with you. Otherwise, you can't run a business. Again, patience, time, mental fortitude. Okay? The idea that you want to go into business because you want to be your own boss, forget it. Instead of having one boss, every client is now your boss. So if you're looking to avoid having bosses, you're just going to have a lot more. Deal with it, learn it, take the joy that comes with business ownership, take the joy of the little successes that you have and build on them.
Oh, I love it. Love it, love it, love it. Glenn, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your experience. I loved hearing, honestly, your whole journey. That it's so, so cool to hear, you know, moving from public service to entrepreneurship, and this is the way that you've built your agency and you're building and growing your business. And gosh, the biggest takeaway I got was just, you know, being able to fail 7 out of 10 times and still making the Hall of Fame. I mean, it's such a true statement. And that, I mean, those are the lessons that business owners, whether they're just starting out or scaling up, like those are the lessons that we learn from. And I thank you so much for being on here. And just like every time, tune in. We'll have another guest next week and we will see you next time. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It was great.
This podcast is brought to you by Seeker Solution. Are you a business owner feeling overwhelmed? We can help. Head over to seekersolution.com to schedule a call today. Would you or someone you know like to be featured on this podcast? Our applications are now open. Apply today at seekersolution.com and click on the podcast link to get started.